Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, which is a podcast by the Obesity Medicine Association. I'm also Editor-in-Chief of Obesity Pillars, and I'm also Chief Science Officer of the Obesity Medicine Association. And what we do with this podcast is we go through articles that have been published, most of them published in our journal of the Obesity Pillars. And we get authors, experts to give us insights as to what was the thinking behind the particular publication and what are the kind of conclusions that come directly from the authors. And we're just very fortunate to have one of the authors on this article we're going to be talking about. The name of the article is Navigating Coverage, a Qualitative Study Exploring the Perceived Impact of an Insurance Company Policy to Discontinue Coverage of Anti-Obesity Medications. So that's already a pretty hot topic. And again, we do have one of the authors, Dr. Treya Haggerty. Dr. Haggerty, why don't you tell the folks who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I am a professor at the West Virginia University School of Medicine, and I practice in the medical weight management clinic and also do medical weight management within the family medicine department at WVU. I guess other background is that I am obesity medicine certified and have enjoyed this job.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, there was a lot of, when you say enjoy, that suggests passion. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of passion in this paper. I would encourage people to read it. It's a tough read. I found it a tough read because it was, you know, in some ways I felt kind of outraged. In other ways, I felt kind of disappointed. I mean, let me just read the conclusion. This give people a sense about what this article is about. Patients perceive the discontinuation of anti-obesity medication coverage as stigmatizing and unjust, leading to feelings of hopelessness and fear. With more insurance companies denying coverage for these costly medications, more information is needed to identify best ways to address the loss of coverage with patients. Clinical management of these patients should incorporate evidence-based obesity treatments while navigating insurance constraints. So, I mean, I think we've all come accustomed to constraints about some of the care that we provide, but I think it's fair. That's especially so with the treatment of our patients with the obesity. And then you go through about how it is you did this survey among 22 patients with the insurance, and you came across, there's this very nice, if people click on the Obesity Pillars website, they'll see this nice graphical abstract that outlines patients where they have feeling of hope that's replaced by hopelessness because of loss of medication coverage, and maybe even anger of the perceived injustice. And there might even be perceptions of past and present stigma within the healthcare system, and maybe especially with the insurance company. And then finally, generational influences and such. So again, you know, very passionate, very, very tough read, but I think an important read and highly applicable to our patients. So I guess my first question is, what do you think are the most important policy implications of this study?
Yeah, so when this particular decision was made, it was made without a lot of input from stakeholders that were involved in the outcomes from the decision. And so, and we see that in policy all the time, right? We see policy made as more of a unilateral decision, but it's also on us too, that we need to be helping link with policymakers to help drive from the patient and the provider side what that policy looks like.
Now excuse me just for a second. When you say the decision was made, what decision are you talking about?
To stop coverage of, it was actually stop coverage of all obesity medicine in this situation, but we did interview just patients that were on the GLP-1 agonists because of the cost associated with them.
So you're saying these are patients, insured patients, were receiving GLP-1 receptor agonists, and then a decision was made to just stop it.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. Yes. And so it was on this basis that you did this survey, mm-hmm. and it's on that basis that you feel, I don't want to be speaking for you, but that, you know, sometimes decisions that are made that can have profound impact to patients, maybe those decisions aren't made because it's in the best interest of the patient. Maybe it's made for other reasons. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yes. And we've been told pretty clearly that the policy change happened because of the financial impact on the insurance company in relation to this. So it wasn't made based on the patient outcomes. However, it's important to know the outcomes of the stakeholders when making policy change. And so I think that is important. This study is bringing some of that stakeholder voice in a scientific manner. We did a controlled analysis of the interviews of the patients. It was a content analysis of these interviews. And because of that, our patient's voice was put out there in a very scientific way, not just the more emotionally charged way that patients might have been voicing it, and us providers were.
Well, let me ask you this. So you're doing this study, not sure what results you were going to get, but then when you got the results, was there anything particularly surprising about your findings in this? Again, this objective assessment of people's impressions about, you know, the stoppage of these otherwise, I think in some ways critical treatment with highly effective anti-obesity medications. What were there any surprises?
Yeah, I would say one of the biggest surprises that we hadn't been thinking of even before the study was that patients would talk about the emotional impacts of stopping these medications. We had been thinking about weight regain and what that does to metabolic health and that kind of information, but not really as much about the emotional impact. And our patients were very clear to state what those emotional impacts were. A lot of anxiety and hurt in relation to this, anxiety about their mental health as they move forwards. So they've now seen a life where they were able to do something that they felt was very healthy. And they were making changes that they felt were very healthy. And it was the tool that helped them drive that. And this was taken away and it had a big emotional toll on them. Another, I would say there's a few things that were surprising. The risky behaviors that we were seeing coming out of the stoppage. So things like getting medications from a family member and sharing, pulling the medication out of the injector and putting it into a syringe, one person taking half and the family member taking half. So things like that, taking family members' medications as a whole. So physicians aren't going to know who's taking what medicine when they're sharing in that way. So there were some risky behaviors that we weren't entirely expecting. We did expect some discussion around compounded medicines, and that did come up. So some members expressed that they might look into the compounded medicines, and we know there's some risk associated with that decision too. The other thing was patients actually were willing to pay a little more money. They were willing to pay a little more money. They were also willing to look at different jobs in relation to getting that coverage. So we were kind of surprised by how much. Usually patients would stay about $100 or $200. They were getting it in this insurance plan. They were getting it for $25 a month.
I see. So rather than exploring the possibility of offering the medications if the patient was willing to pay more, the insurance, the people that were covering it, that were paying for it, just stopped it, right? Yeah. So didn't even give an option for a way that may have mitigated or blunted anyway the financial impact. It was just, yes, you have it today. No, you don't have it tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yeah, they had a stoppage date. They announced the stoppage about 3 months prior to the stoppage date. And that's where we were doing those interviews, was in that 3 month time period before the actual stoppage date. Patients were able to continue the medicine through their prior auth. So some are still on it as of right now, but it'll end once their prior auth ends. The stoppage date was June 30th for this specific plan. But there were, I think there's some business reasons that I don't fully understand on why the increase, paying an increased amount for the medicine, wasn't viewed as a positive thing that the insurance company could do. But
well, it would have been positive for many of your patients, at least that's what I'm hearing from you, right? So, I mean, it's, that's got to be especially frustrating if patients say, look, I'm willing to pay a considerable amount if you just help me out. Like, you know, I'll chip in and do my part, but I'm supposed to be getting healthcare coverage for my health. And here's this treatment that's available. I'm willing to pay more for it, but I don't even have that option. I guess I can better understand now how it is why don't you tell me, what were some of the emotions that people had when again, it seemed like they were willing to reach out and they were willing to do their part, and yet that wasn't even an option.
Yeah, some of the emotions we were hearing, a big one was the anxiety in relation to the stopping, because the anxiety of regaining the weight. And we know with previous studies, we can't reassure them that they won't regain the weight. They will be hopefully working with our clinic still on future plans to help with that, but there is a lot of anxiety. Also, the stigma, there's a theme in the paper about the stigma. A lot of patients felt very hurt. When I think about stigma, I think about the stigma we kind of induce on patients from the clinical setting, or by how we talk, or society, social media in general, what stigma the patients feel. But this time was very interesting because it was stigma that patients were feeling from the insurance company. So where they were feeling that this policy, this change was very specific to the insurance company and therefore stigmatizing to them. So it would be, I'd probably say hurt, anxiety, and feeling stigmatized in this decision were the emotions we were hearing.
Well, look, there are a whole lot of cancers out there that, you know, there's just like any other kind of disease, there's variances in the degree of a potential increase in mortality with cancers and such. And some have a high cure rate and maybe not, and have good prognosis, even though it's got the word cancer attached to it. Not all cancers, you know, are a death sentence or whatever. You know, at the same time, if there were a treatment for cancer that was available and patients were initially approved to get a treatment for the cancer, even if it was a cancer not normally associated with high mortality or something, the idea that you would have people sharing cancer treatments among family members just because one can get it and one can't. I mean, I don't think society would tolerate that at all, particularly if there was, again, known scientific outcome evidence of not just improvement in the weight of patients, but improvement in the health of patients, improvement in, say, for example, reduction in cardiovascular disease and such, which we know can occur at least with semaglutide. So this is just, I mean, I guess I can understand why they would feel betrayed. It's like, I don't understand why some diseases you feel obligated to cover, but yet obesity is a disease. You know, what is it that separates obesity from the others? And I think we all know it goes to the stigma, right? Isn't that what you're...
That's exactly. Yeah. So our patients were actually bringing up other stigmatized health conditions. So specifically things like addiction treatment. Yeah. They're saying like that they would get treatment if they had an addiction problem under their insurance policy. I try not to bring that up too much because one stigmatizing thing explaining another stigmatizing way of thinking it. We both know addiction and obesity are both diseases, but the stigmatized way to look at them is a lifestyle choice, right? And so patients were actually making that comment. that they were seeing this as very stigmatizing. One patient even made a quote that had something to do with having obesity is the one thing you're allowed to discriminate against now. You can't discriminate against all these other things, but obesity, you're still allowed to. And that's how they were taking this decision.
Well, I can understand. Well, how about this? Let's see. Yeah. Hopefully people are getting a sense what I said at the very beginning. It is, you know, tough read. It's disappointing, might make you angry, yeah. But why don't we flip it on the positive side? So what do you think is the next step in your study? What are the positive messages that we can take away, or at least messages that we can take away that's going to better inform, policies in the future?
Yeah, so I think that the next steps from this study, I've put a lot of thought into this. I do quite a bit of qualitative research, and you're always kind of thinking on how that fits into the big picture, right? In this study, we know these concerns the patient has, and one of the big concerns is that weight regain. We know from previous studies that patients tend to have weight regain after stopping GLP-1 coverage. What we don't have great guidelines or data on is how do we take care of these patients after they have to stop these medicines for some other reason, meaning insurance coverage being one of them. We have other effective medicines, PO medicines, that we can get in a more economical way. How do we use those to help maintain the loss that the patient already had? And is that possible? Also, understanding what happens to the metabolic health. We know that going up and down in weight affects the metabolic health moving forwards, but how does it when that's done with a GLP-1? We have to know that to then treat the patients more appropriately as they stop a medicine such as this one. Also, I think the other side of it is taking this information back to policy. So taking it out of the research world, but taking it back to policymakers. So we have taken this back to the insurance company. We've also taken it back to some of our state representatives so they understand what we found in this study. So outside of the research side, using this to take it back to the policy side.
Well, all I can say is, you know, thank you and your co-authors for doing this. I mean, people may be interested to know that the Obesity Medicine Association, as well as the Obesity Action Coalition, recently came out with a joint statement on advocacy. So this kind of leads right into that. So there's also a podcast on that effort as well, but it all goes together. So thank you very much. Again, I want everybody to remember that the name of the article is Navigating Coverage, a Qualitative Study Exploring the Perceived Impact of an Insurance Company Policy to Discontinue Coverage of Anti-Obesity Medications, published in Obesity Pillars. And I hope people will take the time to look at this, because I think there's a lot that can be taken away, both, you know, scientifically, but as you mentioned, you know, very real emotional impact that such decisions have upon our patients. So again, thank you very much, Dr. Haggerty. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, and you've been listening to Obesity, a Disease.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Obesity, a Disease. For more information about Obesity Medicine podcasts and other valuable resources from the clinical leaders in obesity medicine, please visit www.obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode and want to listen regularly, head over to iTunes, where you can subscribe, rate, and leave us a much appreciated review. The views expressed in this episode are those of the host and guest and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please join us again for our next episode of Obesity, a Disease.